My name is Heather Jaspin, and I am a South African whose parents immigrated to the States before I went to varsity, so I did my bachelor's medical school and PhD there. And then after I did pediatric training, I came back to Africa, and where I've slowly been developing research around pediatric immunology and pediatric HIV prevention. My work interfaces between clinical research and basic science, where I often recruit my own babies and participants into studies, and then my lab does the research on the samples back here at UCT. I also have a lab in Seattle, by the way, I should probably disclose, but most of the work happens here. So, as I mentioned, I study pediatric immunology, and infants and neonates are extremely susceptible to infectious diseases, and it's believed that this is because they have an immature immune system. But I believe that it's probably not totally accurate, that many aspects of a newborn's immune system are actually fairly well developed, but they may be actively suppressed, partly due to the fact that in utero, the mother and the baby have to tolerate each other, and half of the baby's genes come from a foreign source, the father. So there's some active immune suppression that goes on while the fetus is developing that may persist somewhat into infancy. Various aspects of the infant's immune system mature, quote unquote, at different rates. Some aspects are fully mature at birth, depending on the stimulus. For example, infants can make very good T cell responses to BCG vaccine, but not to, say, protein antigens. And the humoral or antibody response of a baby also develops at different rates, depending on which immunoglobulin we're talking about. Obviously, the infant relies a lot on maternal antibodies, and that's what protects them a lot in the first few months of life, and then after a few months they start to be able to develop their own antibodies. There's a novel concept that's emerged in the last few years that the microbiome of the newborn is very instrumental in immune development. And it's been believed up till recently that the fetus is sterile when born, and that upon delivery, either via vaginal exposure to vaginal microbiota or from the exposure in the operating room, for example, through C-section, and then through breast milk, the microbiota of the baby becomes developed or starts to develop, and there's crosstalk between development of mucosal and systemic immunity and the infant gut microbiome. As a neonate, the infant's microbiome is very much shared in, between different body parts. It's quite similar, but as they mature, they become more and more adult-like. However, this concept that the infant is, or the neonate is sterile at birth, is being questioned. And development of the newborn's microbiome may actually begin in utero. But regardless, maternal microbiome is a huge influence on the neonatal microbiome. As I mentioned, through the vagina, through breast milk, probably through skin, and probably through events that happen in utero as well. So the gut microbiome, at least in mice, is shown to be crucial to induction of Th17 cells of the mucosa and probably peripherally. I think that's probably very important in the development of Tregs to commensal organisms and the ability for an infant to recognize a pathogen versus a commensal, etc. So these are really the, I find the new interesting findings in infant immunity. We're finding out more and more that the infant's immune system is not necessarily immature, but that it's actively suppressed. Recently, suppressor cells have been identified, such as the CD71 immature erythroid precursors that may actually exist to suppress immune responses to commensal organisms. Other cells, such as myeloid-derived suppressor cells. Of course, Tregs are very, very much present during pregnancy and in the neonate, and actually have been recently shown to be paternal antigen specific. And then I think the crosstalk and the cross-fertilization between the gut microbiome and infant immune development is also a hot new topic. And of course we have to try and translate findings from murine models into human, because we don't actually know that all these exact same things happen in human infants. And of course cause an effect is difficult to prove in humans because you can't necessarily have a germ-free neonate or a germ-free human baby.